Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Lisnick Behind the Curtain, my opportunity to step away from the TV set on WGN, where I cover politics and law and all that stuff that gets everybody upset. And we enter the world of theater and arts here in the podcast world, which makes everybody happy. And today will make you very happy because on this podcast, anybody, perhaps the best way to say it is that anything goes with what may happen here. And yes, we are talking about the show Anything Goes, which is playing over at Porchlight Music Theater, as you know, one of my top favorite theaters in the entire city, not just because they gave me an award, but because it is one of the best theater companies in the entire city. Let me introduce you to everybody who's joining us. It's the cast. It's like almost kind of, it's not really the whole cast, but it's like, if you're going to see it, these are the people you walk out saying, I love them. And I asked for all of them and they all said yes. Do we save Megan for first or last? I guess we go first.
Both.
So playing the role of Reno Sweeney without a unicorn with her, but playing the role of Reno Sweeney is Megan Murphy, who, by the way, as I just say a little bit about you as we start, not only an actor, singer, producer, cabaret and recording artist who does live here. But Megan, as I told you before we started, I feel like I've known you my whole life. I don't know why. Probably just because I've seen you perform at, Mamma Mia and Spamalot and City of Angels, which my friend Greg Edelman, my schoolmate Greg Edelman, did on Broadway and was sick on opening night. That's a story for another night. But anyway, but you have one of those personalities. I'll just say it now before I introduce our friends.
Okay.
Which is, when Anything Goes was coming up and I knew you were going to do it, first of all, I know everybody thinks you've been doing this is like your 10th time in doing the role. And secondly, I think to me it was a role that whoever has it, and it's been Ethel Merman and it's been Patti LuPone, you have to be a larger than life figure to play Reno Sweeney. I mean, Reno Sweeney is necessarily larger than life, which she is, but I think the actor has to be larger than life. And man, you just in spades blow that rule away in the best way.
Thank you. Also, hi, Paul. Good to see you. Yeah, it's one of those, it's one of those iconic roles that go in the pantheon of, like, juggernaut canon for ladies. It's like Mama Rose, Reno Sweeney. It's like, it's part of that kind of diva canon. And I'm super honored and thrilled to be able to be trusted with that kind of a legendary role.
And for those people who think they've seen you a million times on the Porchlight stage?
I've never actually done a full run of a Porchlight show. I've done one of their revisits. We did Woman of the Year a few years back. And I was the first host of their series, New Faces, which of course is introducing new faces to the city of Chicago theater.
I got to do that for 1964. You know why? Because it was Fiddler on the Roof and I got to sing.
Mm-hmm. Hey, come on. Nice.
It's the only song I will sing at the drop of a hat. Don't tempt me.
Yeah.
Let's go to the boyfriend world, if you will. Those who play boyfriends of various kinds in the show. Luke Nowakowski joins us. And Luke, you've been at the Goodman and Chicago Shakes and Paramount. And man, what a great career. But you must be loving the role of Billy Crocker in Anything Goes. What a fantastic and fun role.
Oh, yeah. He's a good boy, ain't he? He just got good intentions. He sings good songs. He gets to dance with everybody in the show. I'm having a blast.
As well you should, and you have kind of a partner in crime here who is various heights as the show continues and from start to end. You have to see the show if you don't know what I'm referring to. But Steve McDonough, who, Steve, look, you've been at Porchlight before, Bells Are Ringing, Call Me Madam, you've been at the Goodman, Drury Lane, Chicago Shakes. But of course, the truth is people looking at you, aside from the stage, may say, wait, I know that guy. I swear it's not from theater. I never go to theater. I know that face. And they do, because you are like a Food Network star and part of the Hardy Boys.
I am. I'm part of the Hardy Boys duo. I'm the better looking part. I don't need to tell you that.
No,
it's actually totally not true as well. If you've ever seen Dan, it's not true. But yeah, I mean, I've had two careers here in the city, and they've both been really very fulfilling.
And filling. And you did our WGN midday show, which was fabulous. I noticed you kind of do most of the talking though. You're kind of the front guy.
You can't shut me up. I also just love that. I'll tell you, I've reached a point in my food career where it's less important. I mean, it used to be so important, get the food right in the cooking demos. Now I'm at a point where I'm like just really having fun, and I just had a joyful time doing the demo the other day. Because that's, I mean, it should be just fun, right? I enjoy that.
Yeah, and I go in on certain days so I can eat what's left over after the chefs cook in the midday. When I heard it was you guys, I'm like, I'm going in.
Did you get leftovers that day?
I took the bread, remember? And
oh, we didn't make the bread.
I took a piece of bread. I thought, oh my God, I love homemade bread and stuff. And they made this whole concocted thing. And I said to Steve, I got the bread. And he went, it's not homemade. It's like.
It was from Whole Foods or Jewel. I don't even remember.
Yeah. From, it was like Wonder Bread. Anyway, and also. No. Oh no, that was a put down of the bread. No, I didn't mean that. The bread was fabulous. That's why I thought for you just, it was from some local bakery. Hi, Jackson. Jackson Evans also joins us as well. And you play Lord Evelyn Oakley. I'm saying the name right, yes?
I pronounce it Evelyn, but I don't know why I do. So however you want to pronounce it.
My grandmother was Evelyn, I guess, with that. But I think Evelyn is probably correct. But, of course, from School of Rock to Beauty and the Beast at Paramount. And also, I, of course, saw you and interviewed you when you did Boys in the Band at Windy City Playhouse. Your spectrum of acting is really wide range and very fun. I mean, so what kind of role do you, because this one is a real wacky role, at least the way you play the character. So much fun. But what attracts you in a role?
Oh, gosh. The one I'm cast in? That, once you get the job? But I mean,
Boys in the Band was kind of a more subdued, you know, whatever. And even though it was a fun show, but then you do this and you're just all. And by the way, I think the laughter of the audience propels you.
I mean, laughter in life propels me. I love to figure out whatever part of weird Jackson gets to come out in any shape or form in any part I'm playing. And in Evelyn, It's the wanting to be fully in one's body and the goofiest as possible.
And you do it well. Megan, let me tell you, there's an assumption the show's been around for 90 years, so everybody knows Anything Goes, but that's not necessarily true. So for this 90-year-old classic by Cole Porter, the Cole Porter's music anyway, what's this show all about?
Anything Goes, if you don't know it or are not familiar, is a high-stepping, toe-tapping musical romp that takes place on a cruise ship crossing from New York to London. And of course, once we set sail, all the shenanigans take place. We have a gangster, we have a nightclub singer posing as an evangelist. What? We have an Englishman who is taking on the American culture for the first time. And of course, we have our central love story, which is Billy and Hope, who, it's an old-fashioned love story. They, like, got together a while back. Just so happens they are here on the ship together, and you got to come to see what happens.
And Luke, so your character, you're Billy, since you just got called, we'll bring that up. Talk to me a little bit about Billy, and why do you think, Luke, that I mean, the show is 90 years old, right? So it should be tired. I mean, it was revamped in the 80s, but, you know, it should be tired. We should be saying, no, give me Wicked. But what about this show? First, tell about your character, but secondly, what about this show just keeps it going? It'll be going at 100 and 150.
Well, Billy is like an assistant for a Wall Street broker, and he is kind of running all around, and he's
also on the ship, by the way.
Yes. And he goes onto the ship and he tries to give his boss the last thing that poor Billy forgot to do. And he sees Hope and he decides in a number to stay and to throw all inhibition to the wind and follow passions and give up his career and all the good things that are happening to him to follow this girl that he spent one night with. I think that the show is still around and still, you know, touching people because it just has an honesty. You know, it has a lot of camp. It has a lot of the things that people like in theater. It has tap dancing. It has soft shoe. It has iconic numbers like I Get a Kick Out of You and The Lovely and Anything Goes. I mean, it has everything that people are kind of looking for in this day and age. And I think that people more often than not leave the theater kind of humming the tunes and feeling touched and feeling inspired to maybe go after the things that scare them most. So I think that's why Anything Goes really stands the test of time.
I think that worked. And since you mentioned a one night affair, Steve, let's go to you. you know, I don't get the connection. But, you know, you have done these classics. I mean, when Bells Are Ringing, Call Me Madam. So are you attracted to these, you know, sort of more stable shows that have this long history? Or if you were cast in, you know, the Days of Wine and Roses on Broadway tomorrow, just opening, would you go do it?
Yeah, absolutely. I would do all types of theater. Nothing makes me happier than being on stage. And so in all different types of theater, Every Brilliant Thing. And it could not be more different than this. And I enjoy both of them equally. What I really love about doing Anything Goes, though, is I've worked with Michael Weber before, mm-hmm. and often Weber casts me in the role that he wanted to play. So, and you guys know it's true. So yep. It's very fun to be that character, because Weber comes up with these great ideas. He's like, I'm going to, you know, well, I don't want to give things away, but some of the things he gives me in the show is just really stupid fun. And he has a great affinity for the 1930s and 40s type of pacing and the Marx Brothers and that just keep it moving. And it's very fun to play. So it's completely different than, say, doing Next to Normal, but it's joyful. I mean, I think, Megan, you said the word one day that it's just a joy bomb to be on that stage. And truly, I mean, it's easy to say, right? But I'm looking at my friends here and we're just joyful on stage.
And by the way, it's a good thing, Megan, that Weber didn't want to play your role, because who knows?
We're not saying that.
You might. you could be unemployed. Well, listen. Steve, I should ask you, talk about Moonface Martin, which is such a classic 30s name, right? When you go back to Moonface Martin. Who is Moonface Martin?
So Moonface Martin is a low on the totem pole gangster. He's public enemy number 13, and he's a wannabe. And he thinks he's really tough, and he's not. And the way I play it, at least, is that he tries really hard and is consistently disappointed. But it's fun. I mean, it's comically disappointed. And he kind of takes Billy under his wing and tries to help Billy finagle this new position he's in. He's got an old relationship with Reno, which leads into, like, hey, we haven't seen each other in a while. No, we haven't. Let's sing Friendship. And bang, we're in the song, because that's the way the show is written. And it's very fun. I get a lot of wonderful, fun comic. I'm the clown in the play.
And it's just so perfect for you. We're going to talk about the music specifically, by the way. But first, Jackson, let me come visit with you. So, Evelyn, your character, all right, who is Evelyn? Tell us who it is, and then I have a follow-up that I'll just separate out.
Well, it's Lord Evelyn.
Sorry.
First. I don't even know what makes you a lord. I mean, I did research.
Lord Evelyn, a colonel, but it was just
because we've already mentioned Hope Harcourt. When you meet Lord Evelyn, you find out that while there was apparently this one-night stand between Billy and Hope, Lord Evelyn is now Hope's fiance. So Lord Evelyn is an expat who has been living in New York, but is from London and is charmed and delighted by anything American. And these characters, these humans that Evelyn gets to meet throughout the show, it just brings him so much joy and glee in seeing these different types of humans. And so I eat it all up. And then I also, I don't know, maybe I get married, but maybe it's just somebody else. We don't know.
Well, here's my follow-up. Speaking of kind of eating the scenery, which your character does. How much of that, I don't know if Weber wanted to play your role either, but as I said, I was there opening night, sitting down in the front row. Anybody, I was waving at you. But I noticed as the audience is laughing, some of the dance shtick and the things that you're doing, it's almost as though you just, I don't know if it's in the script or whether Weber says, take it as far as you want to go, or you're just so loving the interaction with the audience. Obviously, you only have a certain amount of play because it's stage and there's orchestration and there's cues and all of that. But how much of that is Jackson having some fun with it, or is everything you're doing in the script, laughter or not?
Oh, that it, I think it's hard to sort of parse out. But what I will say is Michael Weber, director, and Tammy Mader, our choreographer, had a lot of really great specific ideas for a lot of the play. There was a lot of, we think in this moment, the bit or the comedy joke is this. This is maybe what the gag is. And they gave us a lot. And then sort of over the last few weeks of rehearsal, we were able to sort of pepper it in with our, it went through my sieve. It went through Megan's sieve of, okay, great. That is a great joke. Now, how do I do it as me in this space? And sometimes it's very much like, I'm doing exactly what you told me to do. And I think for the moment you're specifically referring, in which I do dance like a complete buffoon, Tammy sort of gave me ideas and then let me figure out how to incorporate them. And even just this last week, I have gone up to now another one of our ensemble members who is a gem and said, like, it's now turned into that I am now dancing with one of the angels. And that's wonderful. And is that okay with you? And she loves it too. So there is, we are still sort of still mining it and picking out the jokes here and there that we can find in this, what should be a much more dated script than we have found it to be.
Well, so one more follow-up then. Are you still, I'll use the phrase work in progress, but I mean, as you know, on opening night, things freeze. So are you frozen? Or are you saying, no, we're not so, and we can play a little bit?
Officially, we're frozen.
Officially. We'll go with the official.
There is not drastic changes, but the best part about doing it, and I think it goes to what you were saying earlier, is that the audience is different every night. So there are brilliant jokes in this play that have still never gotten a laugh. And so we are still sort of like, well, then how do I need to serve it up more? Or, oh my gosh, this audience really got it. Can we make it funnier? Can we live in it a little bit longer? So no, it's not suddenly I'm in a different costume than I was in last night, but we are still, it's what makes theater so great, is that if you came back and saw it, you'd be like, oh, I missed that joke last time. Wow. And either it's because there are so many jokes, or it's because we have now figured out a new way to, as Megan did earlier in the mime, to do the ba-bum-ching. Like, that's the fun thing we're still playing with.
Megan, I don't know if you noticed that you get rounds of applause just every time you walk on stage in your next scene.
I don't even notice it, Paul. It's crazy. What?
I know. Other than that pause. No. But what it tells me is obviously the Porchlight audiences have been waiting for you for a very long time. And so literally, and you see your castmates here are nodding with that. You just literally every time you walk on stage. The music you get to do, and I know this is true for so many people who don't know what songs are in Anything Goes, as they listen to You're the Topic, they're like, oh, I didn't know that was from that. Although I think actually some of them are not. Some of them got moved in later from other things. They're all Cole Porter, but not necessarily all original to this show. But right. Do you find that? Do people come up to you afterwards, Megan, and just, you know, you're performing these classic numbers and people don't know this was like in some show?
Yeah, I get that a lot, actually. I mean, a lot of times people will stop me after the show and go, I didn't know that that song was from this show. I just knew it as like an old jazz song, which, of course, were the pop songs of the day. And, you know, it's I Get a Kick Out of You, DeLovely, very famous song. Anything Goes, famous song. I mean, it's Chock Friendship, super famous song that was not originally in the show at all. But as, you know, as Anything Goes became more of a Cole Porter's greatest hits kind of a deal, then the songs just took off again and had second meanings from there. So,
well,
yeah, it is a pleasure and a half to be able to get to sing these songs with this incredible band that Nick Sulla has put together, that Linda Madonia conducts every night. It's thrilling. I mean, we stand backstage and listen to the entr'acte that starts act two, and it gets us going, man. I mean, Cole Porter, he's got potential. He's onto something.
If only he were still here.
Yeah.
Luke, one of the things we see, it's there through the show. Pretty sure it's there, the entire show, but there is a picture of Cole Porter. Yes. You pay homage to him, not you, the whole cast pays homage to him at the end of the show, but he's clearly there. So Luke, when you look at the show, is this like we're doing Cole Porter's Anything Goes? Or is there a level to which you're saying we're also kind of doing a tribute of love to Cole Porter himself? The show happens to be the vehicle, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I did this show 10 years ago. It was my last show of high school, and I...
What role did you play then?
I played Evelyn. Come on.
Oh, challenge.
But it was I got introduced to him in that way, and I think that Michael Weber, I mean, right out of the gate, Reno pays homage to Cole Porter at the piano when she sings I Get a Kick Out of You. And I just don't think that we have shows written like this anymore. Like, even if it's kind of a hodgepodge of different Cole Porter's greatest hits, like, we don't have shows that are silly and heartfelt and lovely like this anymore. So I think it's really special that we get to, I don't know, I think a lot of musicals don't pay direct homage to the person who wrote it anymore. So it's really sweet to be able to do a tribute every single day. Like, I think Steve, Megan, and I get to, like, point at this big picture of Cole Porter right at the end of the bows every single day. And it feels like he's in the room with us. It feels like, it just feels really, really special.
By the way, I have to ask, so when you auditioned, did you have the role of Evelyn in mind, or that wasn't in your mind?
No, I went to the generals, and I was like, I hope they see me. I hope that they want me. And then they said, Billy, and I went, all right, let's do this. It's really, really sweet to revisit it. And it's also sweet as an actor to be familiar with the show and then to come back to it. And I did a different version of the show. So then I got to kind of relearn the different stuff that has been added. I think that Billy had a lot of songs that were added differently. Easy to Love wasn't in the original show.
And by the way, Steve texted me. He wants me to ask you what you think of the job that Jackson is doing in the role.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think that Jackson is.
He didn't text me that. I just said that.
Don't close it, Jackson. Jackson,
so sweet. Jackson, close your ears. Turn your mic off.
We love Jackson. We all look forward to Gypsy every single day.
Luke and I watch it, don't we? Every day we stand there and watch that number. You guys probably don't know
you
that.
You do?
Yes, every day.
Yes. When you do, I have to say, on it.
Well, when I was originally looking at who I was going to invite to join me for this conversation, again, thanks to you all, it was going to be I'm not going to lie, it was the three of you. And Jackson, your character wasn't one, I hadn't seen the show. Your character wasn't one that I'd say, oh, they've got to be a part of it because I put you in a category with other characters, whatever. And then I saw you and I went, oh no, we got to have them. We got to have them because this is just amazing stuff. Steve, let me come to you. And again, your character, when I watch you and what you do, more so than so many others, except maybe for Billy, your boss, but there's something about it, like, takes us back to the world of the 20s and the 30s and the Top Banana kind of a thing. And is that, when I think about the roles you play in all of that, but I mean, is that the way you're playing him too? Like, it is the 20s, whatever, and it's sort of a Top Banana. It could be Phil Silvers. It could be any of those kind of folks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's very much where the direction went with this. This show is not, the way it was directed, the way we worked it, is not just get the lines out, get the songs, just go for the laughs. That is not what we worked on at all. What we worked on was the pacing that you see in the movies of that time. The Nick and Nora, the Marx Brothers, how there's no air. It's the lines and the lines. And if you don't have time to laugh, you don't have time to think. You just are on this roller coaster and it just goes. So hopefully I am giving that era with my performance.
Megan just texted me. She said she thinks you should provide food every night for the cast.
I do. Yeah,
I know. True. I know. You can talk to Dan about that.
Oh, man.
Do you like the way I just invoke your names? I just make stuff up. and why not?
It's clear we don't like each other, you know.
Well, it's clear you love each other, which is so fabulous. And again, Megan, I'm sorry you didn't have time to get ready for this interview, but
I know, me too. I should go get dressed. Sorry.
Please. I mean, even Luke put all the makeup on. So Jackson, let me, here's the other thing. I find this interesting. And I don't know that I've seen this in other places, but whenever you look at the cast list, whether it's the little program thing you get handed out when you go in or the press list, we get just all sorts of things, wherever the cast list is showing up. And I don't know, not that you know the answer to this, but it's always for this show, it's done in alphabetical order. And so when I even introduced you for this interview, you kind of like, well, you know, I think Megan Reno Sweeney, I'm kind of make her the lead and stuff. But there seems to be something to the show where Porchlight's mission is to emphasize the ensemble nature of this show. Hence, here's the cast in alphabetical order, which means Murphy, you ain't showing up till halfway down that list. What do you think, Jackson? I mean, what's your sense of the ensemble? And of course, Megan, I'm going to ask you that question too.
Well, I changed my last name because I wanted to be higher up on the list. And that worked out well. We actually did a lot of talking about ensemble in rehearsal because not only, especially for this older type of a musical, there are so many parts. There are so many roles that are not just, can I refill your drink? There are so many roles that have some meat on the bone and have, and all of our actors have come to it and been like, this is some fun stuff. So, and on top of that, there are so many lightning fast scenes that include like 40 of us that is on a very ensemble in terms of the first like three times you see me, I don't do more than two, three lines. And you got to hop on that carousel that has been started with the whole cast and you got to be at our speed and then you got to hop right off and you can't slow it down. You can't make it bumpy. And so that's what was so fun about rehearsals and also hard, but so fun was us figuring out our ensemble and us figuring out our speed, how we can pass the ball. How do we do this scene that leads into the next one that we are a very true ensemble piece, which is, it also, to me, feels so Chicago in the best way possible. That is, yes, we are starring international sensation Megan Murphy, but we are a Chicago ensemble of funny, interesting, diverse humans that you're not going to get in another town. And that's why I think that's part of our magic.
And what you just said, in fact, Megan texted me. She said, it's really not about them. It's more about me. And so I wanted to.
are there other people in this show?
No, Megan, I just have to ask you. I mean, so, but what Jackson said is right. It's really what I wanted to ask, because like I said, you walk on, you get applause, you appear. I mean, it's like watching one of the classic actors of all time, you know, pick Patti LuPone, pick whoever you want to pick. You are there and you are present, but it's very clear you play to that ensemble and you need them and you love them.
Absolutely. This is an ensemble piece. I mean, it's written as a star vehicle, or it was written as a star vehicle for Ms. Merman, of course. But the star in the middle ain't nothing without the ensemble surrounding her or him or them or whatever. Big numbers like Anything Goes, Blow Gabriel Blow. It's the ensemble that makes everything pop, makes everything go. And as Jackson was saying, like the revolving door, the carousel that you jump on, it has to all work together. If one of those links is weak or is not working, the whole thing falls apart. So from jump, from the very beginning of the show, it's like we hop on and we go and you're coming with us, whether you like it or not.
Well, and everybody's got to jump on and join you because Anything Goes is playing at Porchlight Music Theater only till March 10th. That's the extension date, but that's it from what I understand. And so by March 10th, get your tickets at porchlightmusictheater.org. Theater spelled the proper British way, T-R-E. Thank you all for your time. I wish I had another hour, but I don't. And not that you want to spend that with me, but I'd love to spend that with you. I thank you all for your time. You're fabulous. I love the show. Going to see it again. You guys are great. Congratulations. Break legs every night.
Thanks for having us, Paul.
Thank you.
So much fun.